Happy 2017 as we kind of launch into this new year. I'm excited about this new year and really all that God has for us. Just in anticipation of what God's going to do. And, you know, there might not be some good circumstances that may come our way this year, but I know that God's going to be faithful. God hasn't changed. And as a church, I'm looking forward to 2017. Next week, we start the book of Joshua, and so we're going to kind of go through the whole book of Joshua. So bring your Bibles as we kind of dig into that, and I think you're going to be encouraged by what we learn about God and, of course, what we learn about ourselves through all of that. After that, that takes us all the way to Easter, and then we're going to have a few weeks. We're going to go through Women of the Bible. My wife, Jamie, is going to join me for some of those messages, and then we'll have a bunch of different ones, sermons in the summer. And then in August, we're starting the book of Revelation. So I always keep kind of putting that one off, and rightly so. And then Oscar was like, dude, it's time. And I'm like, okay, it is time. So we're going to start the book of Revelation in August, and we'll kind of see that all the way through. So this is going to be the year for a lot of us where we experience the presence of God like we've never experienced before. That this is going to be the year that we're going to experience answered prayer. That we're going to experience God do amazing things in our life and in the lives around us. This is the year for some of us where we're going to experience healing. We're going to experience growing in our knowledge of God. Grow in our trust and our faith in God. There are so many great things that God has before us in 2017. So many worthy things to really fight for this year. You know, there's a lot of things. If you kind of had to write out a list of, like, what are the worthy things to fight for? I mean, some of those things might be like your job, right? You fight to maybe keep your job, or, you know, to fight in order to kind of move up, you know, and to progress your career. You know, we fight for our families, you know, and our friends. I mean, if anyone kind of, you know, it's one thing if someone kind of insults us, you know, or puts us down, talks trash, but if someone does that with our family, it's like, boom, we go into fight mode, right? I mean, everybody kind of just jumps into that. That's kind of a worthy thing to fight for. When it comes to our health, sometimes we're a little late to the game. But you know what? We fight for our health. We go and we exercise. You know, we're going to eat right, you know, and we go to the doctor and do the things that we need to do in order to stay in shape. You know, we fight for our possessions. You know, it's like it's mine. It's our stuff. You know, we said it when we were 2 and we're still saying it when we're 52, right? It's like, you know, we protect our things. And there are things worth fighting for. And there's fights then that we're in, whether we realize it or not. There's a fight that we're in that whether we want to be in this fight, whether we want to acknowledge this fight or not, God says that we're in the midst of. And so this morning, as we kind of launch into this new year, I really want us to kind of look at this year and look at the possibilities. Look at where God could possibly be taking you in your relationship with Him, of what 2017 holds for you and your relationship with God, and then all that's before you, and to anticipate that, to be excited about that, but also to know that there's this fight that we're in the midst of. The Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning, and he says this in verse 10. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." You see, God has said that we're in kind of a spiritual war, and that Satan, he opposes us. Satan, he seeks to destroy us. He seeks to ruin us. He seeks to steal our joy, steal our contentment, steal our peace, steal our relationship with God so that we can join him in death. He's lonely. He needs some folks to hang out with. And so, you know, his whole mission is about ruining you and I. And so we're in the midst of this battle. But for a lot of us, we don't acknowledge that we're even in this battle. We feel the battle. And I think as we get into this, you'll be able to point to certain things that you say, yeah, that's the evidence of being in a spiritual battle. But so often, like, we kind of just put that off to the side. And it kind of fits to Satan's strategy, right? It fits to his strategy. Like, isn't it good to be in a battle with someone who doesn't realize that they're in the battle? I mean, isn't it good to be in a fight with someone that doesn't even know, like, hey, wait a minute, like, I'm in a fight here. And so if we kind of put off Satan and the spiritual realm and this spiritual battle and the things that might not seem, and they do seem, kind of out of this world, they are, and kind of foreign to us, or so it seems, we put that kind of on the back burner and don't focus in on it, and then Satan kind of has his way with us when it comes to our relationship with God. It fits perfect for his strategy of distracting us. It fits perfect for us kind of living in disbelief and discouragement and not recognizing that his main goal and his fallen angels is to make sure that he gets in the way of us being excited about our relationship with God, about being excited and anticipating what God has for you. I mean, that's one of the things that sometimes personalizing it is so important, because so often we kind of put that off on someone else. Right? It's like, you know, you hear about folks, we support missionaries, we support people that are doing awesome things, and they're going out, and you're like, man, like, they have an awesome mission. They're doing something great. You know, and they speak with such clarity about their mission and their vision and what God has called them to. They use that word called, and then you kind of look in the mirror and you're like, well, what about me? You know, that's just not for me. And the Bible says that is for you, and that God has a mission for you, that God has something for you. He has greatness for you. And so Satan is trying to disrupt that and speak lies, you know, into our life so that we don't believe that. And so God, he calls us, as Paul's talking to the church in Ephesus, to be strong in the Lord, because we're in this spiritual fight. Now, what does it look like to kind of have spiritual warfare happen in all around us? And the Apostle Paul would say something like this, in Romans, he said, hey, like, when I'm trying to do something, like, I really want to do it, and I just can't seem to do it. Like, with the best intentions, like, I'm going to read my Bible. And then everything else just kind of pops up, right? All these other things. And they're not necessarily, like, inherently evil things. They're just things that distract us. We have all these great intentions of things we want to do that we end up not doing. It's like, right now, maybe, I mean, of course, my prayer is that by the end of this 30 minutes of me talking, like, you walk out, you're motivated. What happens when we feel motivated and then, like, an hour later, right? Or 2 hours later, or the next morning, and all of a sudden it's not there anymore? That's spiritual warfare. Or there's things that we don't want to do. We want to stop maybe talking a certain way, thinking a certain way, or have certain kinds of actions, but we can't seem to stop. And then we think that we're powerless to stop doing those very things. We think that we just can't seem to beat it. Everyone else seems to be able to beat it. Someone else had that problem, and now they don't sin that way any longer. They have victory in that area of their life, but not me. That's spiritual warfare. You know, when we deal with pride, you know, and arrogance, when we deal with sexual temptation, you know, when we deal with materialism and entitlement and pornography and drugs and finding our identity in our work, finding our identity in other people, finding our identity in our stuff. When we choose what's urgent over what's important, right? I mean, that really could be a mantra for today, of how often we choose what seems urgent over what's most important within our life. And believing that something or someone else can give us life over the life that we find in Christ. That is spiritual warfare. That's what happens. It's in those subtleties. I mean, so often what Satan so shows up is in the subtleties, in the little decisions that we make every single day that we feel like won't have a great impact on our life. Oh, I can make this one decision, and this one decision puts Jesus in the back seat. And then you make another decision, and you put him back in the back seat. And eventually, he just lives in the back seat. You're like, you want him to jump up front, but it's in those small decisions. And it's in that small decisions where there's the greatest battle. And it doesn't look the way that so often we think that it looks. Because when I say Satan or I say demons, ultimately you're thinking like some kind of movie, right? I mean, you're thinking something kind of scary that you don't want to see, or maybe you do like those kinds of movies, and you know, you're just like the worst of the worst, right? Well, let me just say that if the door opened and something like that, something that you see in the movies, like came in here, I guarantee you, like, we'd be all on our knees praying. Like, we would see evil like exactly for what it is. But he's a lot smarter than that. Now, he doesn't have the power of God. He can't be everywhere at once. You know, Satan can't make us sin. you know, every negative thing in our life is not from him. We can't give him all of that credit, even though we'd like to kind of place all that blame on him. But he's not the one that can do it. But what he can do is that he can weaken us. You know, he can cause us to fall. He can kind of give us that temptation in front of us. And then when we're on the ground, to kind of just trample and stomp on us and to make the sin in us worse than what it is. And so it's this spiritual fight. So I don't know if you've been able to kind of put your thumb on it when you're in the midst of that struggle of, like, if you've been there to say, I want to grow in my relationship with God. And that was 2015, and then 2016, and then now it's 2017. And you're like, you know what, I haven't progressed. I haven't grown. Why? I mean, why is it that every time that maybe I take a step of faith, something, I have to go through something difficult? Or why I make a choice for Jesus, you know, and then all this temptation kind of flows my way. And maybe I fall into temptation, I fall into sin, I fall flat on my face, and then I just leave discouraged. I just can't seem to get this right. And so we base it off of our performance, and yet Satan is kind of having his way with us. And so as Paul said, we have to be strong in the Lord so that we can resist the devil, so that we're able to fight in this fight. And God has given us kind of these spiritual weapons. I mean, just kind of an example in Scripture, some guys that we elevate in Scripture, like Solomon and Samson and David, right? So Solomon is the wisest of all men who's ever lived. I mean, he had incredible wealth, incredible power. Then you have Samson. Samson was considered the strongest man who ever had lived. I mean, he killed like 1,000 people with a jawbone of a donkey. Impressive, right? I mean, that's one that you just tell around the kitchen table there. And I mean, strong guy. He knocked down a temple, you know, with his hands. You know, then you have David. David, who was one of the most devoted guys to the Lord. I mean, even God said, not he said or someone else said, but God said that this is a guy after my own heart. Like that speaks incredible volumes about David, that God would say that about him. He's a guy that, you know, you look in the book of Psalms and you see like what his devotion looked like. It's ups, it's downs, it's a roller coaster, but you see that. But all three of them, all of them, they all fell. Every single one of them. And they fell when they stopped depending upon God. And they started to kind of do life on their own. When they stopped relying in on him. I mean, you have Solomon, you know, the wisest who had ever have lived, started to take on wives. Like a lot of wives. Like hundreds of wives. Apparently not that smart, right? So he takes on all of these wives, and it's these wives that lead him to start serving foreign gods, led him astray, and ultimately led him to his fall. And then you have Samson. You have Samson, as strong as he is, man, his weakness was Delilah. Man, that girl had him wrapped around her finger and revealed his secret of strength, and that led to his fall. And then you have King David, who fell into the temptation of lust, then adultery, and then murder. Are we to think that we're stronger than those guys? You see, it's impossible for us to have the kind of strength that we need in our everyday life if we don't have a solid relationship with God, if we're not depending in on him. Look at what it says in verse 13. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So there's all kinds of strengths, right? There's emotional strength, there's intellectual strength, there's physical strength. But the greatest is spiritual strength that's measured in faithfulness. It's measured in trust and perseverance. And so God says, hey, listen, if you're going to be strong in this battle, if you're going to be strong, there's some things that I'm giving you that you need to put on, and there's some things that you need to use. And all of this is contained in our relationship with God, because we're in the midst of this fight, and we need to fight. Of course, we need to fight with the things that God has given us. And so he's given us this, you know, this belt of truth. You know, without truth, like, nothing stands. If we don't have truth or find truth in Jesus, I mean, Jesus says that he is the truth. It's so easy to kind of, you know, get tossed back and forth. It's so easy to try to find life in other things when we really don't know truth. We may venture off for a little bit, but eventually we're reminded of what's real and what's true, and we come back to Him. It's with truth that we're able to kind of fend off lies that come our way in life. You know, to fend off kind of the enemy trying to take us off track. And so it's with truth that God has given us that we're to put on this truth. We're also to put on righteousness. To put on a righteousness, you know, as we this fall or last fall went through just our identity, you know, it's Jesus who's righteous. He's the one who's righteous. And so because He's died for us, He's made us righteous. Like, as a believer, you're righteous. Like, without doing anything, without, like, you know, reading your Bible, without praying, without having to kind of do any kind of steps or jump, you know, any kind of, you know, from one place to the next. Like, you're righteous, not because of anything that you and I have done, but because of Jesus. He's the one that makes us righteous when we put our faith in Him. And so it's with that righteousness that we put on. It's our identity. And so as we put on this new identity, it's us going out, and how it changes our life is saying, you know what? What's God's will for my day today? Where's God going to be today? Because that's where I want to be. It's a change in our identity, a change in our mindset. Versus, you know, saying like, God, I want you to be wherever I'm going to be today. God, I want you to make the stuff that I'm involved in successful. It's that shift of saying, God, my life is yours. Everything that I have is yours. This day is yours. Where you want me to be, that's where I'm going to be. The conversations you want me to have, those are the conversations I'm going to have. And it's to seek His will and to seek His righteousness. And so we put on a truth. We put on righteousness. And He says that we have our feet ready for the gospel. And you see, notice kind of throughout this passage, it's constantly about standing, you know, standing firm. And it's with the gospel that we stand firm. You know, when Satan attacks, that we're able to stand our ground. But at the same time, it's having our feet ready to take the gospel to people that need it. You know, to be a part of God's great work. And then we put on the shield of faith. You know, faith, it's that assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. It's with that shield that we're able to block Satan's attack. So when we're attacked and we struggle, it's directly impacted on where our faith is at in God. Is God going to rescue me? I mean, is God going to be here for me? I mean, is God going to protect me? Is God going to provide? Is God going to walk me through this valley that I'm in right now? I mean, that's faith, and that's kind of, you know, the language of faith, of truly believing, regardless of what we're encountering, of knowing that God is true, that God is faithful, and that God will see us through. And so we put on this faith. We put on the helmet of salvation. And so it's with salvation, knowing that we have victory, that it renews our minds. It helps us to be able to look out and look at life differently, be able to look at it from an eternal perspective. To know that, you know what, this last week may have been a bad week. You know, maybe this is a bad season, but we have eternity in our view. We see what God has for us in the future. And so maybe our circumstances of the day don't give us hope, but our circumstances for eternity do. So we put on the helmet of salvation. And lastly, he says, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so it's the word that teaches us, it guides us, he admonishes us. So we're supposed to remain strong, right? And so there's, with these six things, you know, we remain strong in faith. We're rooted in the gospel. We're living in truth. And we're living kind of victorious by faith. And it's these things that God has given us, so for us to be able to fight and to stay safe and strong. But look how he kind of wraps up the end of this. So we have all these things, you know, we put on righteousness, we put on truth, we put on salvation, and we use the word of God, and we use the gospel. And of course, he ends with prayer. He says in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. You notice the alls. Pray at all times in the Spirit. It's not like every second, but it's in all circumstances. You know, to pray with all perseverance. you know, to continue to pray, even when God doesn't seem to be answering or he doesn't give us the answer that maybe we want, but to persevere in prayer, to pray for all the saints, to pray for other believers. And even as Paul says, hey, to pray for himself. Now, there's no need to pray for Paul's. He's with the Lord. But to be praying for ourselves and praying for others that we could be bold, you know, in the gospel. And so it's this battle that we're in that God decided to take the time to make sure that this was all written out for us, that we would clearly understand that we're in the midst of this battle, that we would understand what we need in order to be strong, what we need in order to have a relationship with him. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, "Fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, to which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." And so it's a good fight. It's a worthy fight. It's one that we're supposed to take hold of because it's ours that we're in. And to remember this profession of faith. And so this fight that we're in, this spiritual battle, the one that impacts us every single day, whether we recognize it or not. See, I think when it comes to our church, and I'm sure this is true of really the body of Christ in general, is that there's three kinds of people that are here this morning. And sometimes, you know, we jump from being different kinds of people from one to the next. And it kind of goes like this. There's some people that they need to fight. They need to fight for their relationship with God, but they're not. There are some of you here today that you're not fighting for your relationship with God. And then there are some that need to fight for their relationship with God, but they're stalled. You know, they've been fighting, but they're just kind of plateaued right now. And it doesn't seem to be progressing. It seems to be kind of constant in the same place that it's been for a long time. And there are some of you that you need to fight for your relationship with God, and you are fighting. We go through these seasons that, you know, we're fighting and then we're not. We're fighting, then we're stalled, you know, and then we stall some more and we stall a little bit longer and then we're not. And sometimes we live in those seasons. We live kind of in those places. Well, what does it look like for 2017? For you in your relationship with God? Is this going to be the year that you fight for your relationship with God? And do you even know what you're fighting for? I think it's so important for us to know what we're fighting for. It's so important for us to have a vision as to what our relationship with God could be. A vision of what our relationship with God could be at the end of this year. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, "Where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint." So basically saying, hey, listen, things just kind of get out of control. When there's no vision, I mean, things just fall apart. And King James Version says it a little bit more plainly. And it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people perish. So where there's no vision, death occurs. I mean, this is just kind of common sense. Like in just in everyday life, there's a lot of different ways that this relates in business. Like if there's no vision for a business, the business, it doesn't go anywhere. It just doesn't progress. It won't be in business very long if there isn't a clear vision. When it comes to churches, oftentimes when churches start, they have clear vision. And then over time, like vision fatigue, people all of a sudden, they don't even know why they're meeting anymore. It's just something that you do, right? And so we come together because that's what we do. And then churches become stagnant. Churches start to die. You know, we need vision when it comes to our marriages and it comes to our families. When we don't have vision for our marriage of what it could be, because great marriages, they don't just happen. I mean, people that have great marriages that maybe you look up to, they don't just happen. There's work involved in creating a great marriage. There's a vision of what we hope that marriage will be. There's vision when it comes to creating the kinds of families that we want our family to be. And when we don't have vision, usually we don't like the results of how things kind of turn out. And when it comes to our relationship with God, we need a vision as to what we want it to be. Or what happens is that year after year, we remain in the same place. We haven't grown. We don't know God any more than we did last year. We haven't experienced answered prayer. We haven't experienced God's presence. You know, when we talk about being on the front row of seeing God doing something amazing, that's someone else's story. We desire it, but at the same time, it's something that seems foreign to us. It seems outside of us. You know, year after year, we live with guilt. You know, we live with fear, and we don't live or experience the freedom in Christ. Year after year, you know, we live and we want to be healed by God, but we believe that we're not worthy enough for God to take notice that he would heal me of the ailment that I struggle with. Year after year, we go through the same thing, hoping that something is going to change. But yet we don't do the kinds of things necessary to bring about that change. Very different that if we want our health to be different, well then, man, we exercise. You know, we eat right. I mean, it's like me, like if I wanted to get in shape, well then, you know what, then I'm going to eat right and I'm going to exercise. But if I wasn't in shape and I wasn't eating right and I wasn't exercising and I called up a trainer and I'm like, hey, listen, dude, I'm out of shape. What are you doing? And I start blaming the trainer for me being out of shape. And he's like, well, hey, are you eating right? No. Well, I mean, I did a couple of times this year. You know, are you working out? I mean, I showed up. I have a gym membership. Like, it's there. You know, it would seem ridiculous, you know, for me to be able to blame a trainer for that and then to build some ideology and be like, you know what? Eating right and exercising, it just doesn't work. I tried it. It just doesn't really work. But we do that with God. We do that in our relationship with him. It's like we show up once or twice to the gym and we expect to be kind of spiritually fit. You know, we show up and then we blame him, you know, when he doesn't answer our prayer, or he doesn't jump when we want him to jump. What it reveals is the fact that we actually want him to serve us versus us learning to serve him. And so what does 2017 look like for you and I in our relationship with God? I mean, if we want to experience answered prayer, then you know what? We have to pray. We have to pray and be diligent in our prayer. We have to continually pray. We need to pray with other people. We need to pray without ceasing. Pray in all circumstances. Pray in perseverance, as Paul just said. And then write it down and remember, because we'll forget. If we were diligent about seeking God in prayer, by this time next year, I guarantee you that you would have so much to talk about of how much you've grown in your relationship with God. Or we can just kind of maybe let things go as they are and say, I want to experience answered prayer. But yet we don't do the things necessary in order to grow in our relationship with God. Or we want to be on the road, in the front row, to see God do some amazing things. And God calls us to be obedient. And yet most of our life is being disobedient. I mean, what we'll dive into next week in the book of Joshua. I mean, this dude is amazing job that this guy did. Incredible environment for him to walk into. I mean, he's going into battle. He's going into all this stuff that, like, he's going into a land. It's going to be war after war after war. And there's a lot of things in Joshua that they're difficult to digest, for sure. But one of the things is I try to put myself in Joshua's shoes is go like, man, I'd be thinking strategy. I'd be thinking like, who's that? How are they equipped? What are they doing? And all of that. And God just kind of brushes all that aside and says, hey, Joshua, if you're just simply obedient, you're going to be successful at whatever you do. How often, you know, we want all these things, you know, for God to do in our life. But the one thing that lacks is us simply being obedient, being able to put him first. You see, if we want to experience God do amazing things, then we need to be obedient. If we want to learn more about God, then it's going to take us opening up the Word of God and reading. You know, when you read the Bible and like words are not jumping off the page, or you're bored out of your mind, or you're all of a sudden recalling all the bills that you need to pay. Right? Come on. You guys have been there before, right? Me too. That's spiritual warfare. Like I'm set on that. That is spiritual warfare. I mean, Satan does not want to get for you to get the Word of God in you. And so, of course, being able to persevere through that, the more that you do that, the more that you build that muscle, the stronger it becomes. But if you want to know and learn God, you know, learn more about God, then it takes us studying and getting to know him. There's so many things within our relationship with God as we're at different places spiritually. But what is our vision for where we want to grow and how we want to grow this year in our relationship with God? And once we have that vision, do we have the fight in us to fight for it? You know, I'm throwing that word around, fight, but it's the appropriate word. It's the appropriate word for us, because I think all too often we lose our fight so quick. We're willing to fight for so many other things for so long and have perseverance, but not in our relationship with God. And here's the truth of it, is that when we make the commitment to say, you know what, God, I'm going to fight for you. I'm coming after you this year like never before. Then know that there'll be times, if not plenty, that you're going to fall flat on your face. That you're going to sin. You're going to fall short. You're going to have wayward days and wayward weeks, maybe even a month. But fighting for the things of God is not about getting knocked down. It's how quickly you get back up. It's how quickly you start pursuing Him. It's how quickly you come to a place of repentance and seeking after what is supposed to be our first love. And so in order for us to kind of be strong in this, that we need to clothe ourselves with faith and with righteousness and with salvation, to use the gospel and to use the word of God. But will we? Will we pray? Will we seek after Him? Will this year be different than every other year that we've sought after Him? Do we anticipate God to do something different this year than He did last year? Do we believe that God is moving, He's powerful, He's active, and that He wants to do great work, you know, within our life? You see, my hope is for us as a church that we're a fighting church, that we come together and we fight together in our relationship with God. We're all at different places spiritually. We're able to encourage one another, but to fight for the same thing, for us to deepen our relationship with God. I don't hope that our church gets bigger this year. I hope our church gets deeper this year, that your roots get deeper in Him, that you experience Him like you've never experienced Him before. Like worship, as we come together and we worship, and worship is not just about music. You know, music is a part of it, right? We come in and we sing, but worship is about speaking the things of God, like telling about all the things that He's done. And I think some of the best worship is just simply talking about all the things that God is doing in your life and in my life. We could do that over a cup of coffee. You know, we could do that as we share that with folks through video or as we're going out and just simply just saying, hey, you know what God did this year? You know how God answered my prayer? Hey, you know what? This is how I'm experiencing, you know, God in my relationship with Him today. But it starts with this vision that you have for your life. Because without vision, there's not going to be growth. And it's with that vision that we begin to fight. And then we join the fight that we're already a part of, whether we recognize it or not, in the spiritual realm. And we push back to say, you know what, God? Or, God, you're with me, but you know what, Satan? You cannot have my marriage. You cannot have my home. You're not going to have your way with my kids. I mean, that's a prayer that Jamie and I, we're praying all the time. Like, no, not in this family. Not on the street. Not in this business, not in our schools, not in this city. But that's the fight that we're a part of. And my hope is that you'll be a part of that this year. That you'll be committed to that. One of the prayers that I'm praying, I always think it's something that I think challenges our faith, is what is something that you're praying for that only God can accomplish in your life? Is there anything that you're praying for in your life that only God can accomplish? Because so many things we pray for, like if we muscle up, we're a little diligent, and we push, we can actually accomplish ourselves. But what's something that only God can do? One of the things that I'm praying for is that 100 people in our church, children, students, adults, step forward and say, you know what, I'm committing to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness every day. Like, I'm committing that this year, that I'm going to get knocked down, but I'm going to get back up. But I'm committing to be a part of that. That I want to be able to look back in 2017 and see tremendous growth, see answered prayer, to see my growth in my relationship with God, to see my faith increase and deepen. And so my prayer is that 100 of us, I'm in it with you, is that we would pray for one another, that we would help one another. I want to come alongside you and help you be able to grow in your relationship with God, that this year is different. And so with that, it kind of takes that action step that to kind of self-identify to know. There's something that happens like when we verbalize a commitment, right? I mean, so often, like I make so many commitments, I never share with anybody because they're really easy to break, right? It's like, oh, I'm gonna do this. And then you don't tell with anybody and then it doesn't hurt anybody's feelings if I don't break it. You know, if I break it, don't do it. When it comes to this relationship, when it comes to this commitment, you know, simply there's an email address up there. And it just says 100@grovehc.org. It's the email that says, you know what, I'm in. Because I want to know that you're making that commitment. I want to be able to pray for you. And at times we're going to bring people together and I want to ask you, how can I help you grow? What are the areas that you want to be able to grow? There might be some other people, you know, to be able to kind of get linked up with that are further along that be able to help you grow. But to take it seriously, let's step out of our comfort zone. Let's not let fear, you know, rule us, but say that this is going to be a different year. I'm confident that when we seek God with all of our hearts, we're going to find him. And you're going to find a deepening of your relationship with God. That's why I'm excited about 2017. That's why I'm excited about this year. And I hope you're excited too, and that you make a commitment to be in this fight. That you make a commitment to say that, man, God, this is where I want to be with you at the end of the year. This is where I want to grow and to do what it takes to get there. Let's be a church that fights. Let's be a church that encourages. And let's be a church that loves each other along the way and makes the things of God known, because God is active, God is moving, and God's ready for your commitment. Would you join me in prayer?